Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
The four-hour episode 220 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me, as always, endlessly is Aiden Morgan.
Hey, there's a twist with this particular episode of Destroy All Culture.
Is there?
Yes, because as you listen, you're going to listen to me and you talk, share opinions, and as we do on our weekly basis, bond and deepen our friendship together. But as soon as the podcast ends, one of us is going to turn into the Martian Manhunter, thereby rendering the previous scene meaningless and stupid.
I mean, why not at this point?
Why the heck not?
Okay, I can sum up, because we both, I mean, obviously what we're going to be talking about a lot is the Snyder Cut, because it is out, and we both hate ourselves.
Yeah.
So we watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll be honest with you, like, I went into it with an open mind of, like, maybe this is better, because the original theatrical release was crap. So, yep. You know, maybe this had redeeming parts, and it did.
Sure.
There are nice things to say about it.
Yes.
However, I will not lie when I tell you that when I took my break around hour two, because, God help me, there was no way I was sitting through all of that in a row. When I took my break on hour two, my first thought, I swear to God, was, I really right now wish I was watching Kitty Mamas. And that should tell you how desperate I was.
Well, you mean, at least now you know for sure what chewing five gum feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It was a lot. It was a lot. We can actually talk about that. After, like, maybe talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier a bit first, as a palate cleanser.
I do think it's interesting that a lot of people are saying, or at least a couple people I've noticed, have been going on about how it's fascinating that, like, they released this second, you know, when it's way more standard Marvel Universe stuff, and then, you know, they hooked everyone with Scarlet Witch, and it was so smart, and I'm like, the only reason that this was supposed to be released first.
Yeah.
They just wanted it released near Black Widow, which is why they pushed it. Like, seriously.
Yeah, no, it makes way more sense for them to have released this first, because it is a much more conventional piece of Marvel product than WandaVision. Yeah, but they're lucky, because, I mean, WandaVision really staked a claim for the MCU on TV,
suppose.
The game came out of the gate. And this, I think if this one had come out first, I think people, critics, but maybe some fans, but definitely critics would have been this real typical Marvel bullshit. Rah, rah, rah,
No, I mean, I enjoy that apparently the thrust of Marvel TV, at least so far, is, hey, you know all that trauma we don't have time to talk about?
Here it is.
Yeah. Just like, that's our show. How you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they dig down into for this first episode. I mean, there's that opening sort of action scene on the, like, Tunisian-Libyan border.
Sure.
Which, you know, nicely choreographed. Even though I always think wingsuits look inherently ridiculous, I just, every time I see them, I think of Maggie Simpson in her winter getup in early Simpsons cartoons,
right,
flopping over like a starfish. And that's, as soon as I got out of the wingsuits, I'm like, oh, it's Maggie Simpson time. But yeah, so I mean, so that that was fun stuff. I didn't really care as much as I think they wanted me to care. Sorry about Sam Wilson's family and hard to get the loan. Although I'm wondering, like, how an Avenger can't get a loan. But I do understand what they were doing there. But I just found myself, I don't know. I found myself bouncing off of it rather than getting immersed in the proceedings.
Yeah, see, I was getting immersed in it just because it plays off of, you know, Winter Soldier stuff. It plays off of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having those little notes, like, sure, he was in the Avengers, but he was also blipped away for 5 years. Like, they're not getting paid during this.
Right.
You know, even if the Avengers were ever paid, like, he was paid by the government, I guess. And it's just, you know, also racism. And, you know, having right. Bucky in therapy and having PTSD, like, it was so well grounded. Mm-hmm. And I think because they had the same guy doing the score as Winter Soldier, it just threw me right into that. Like, this is part of that.
That was really good. Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it really did work for me.
And I liked Bucky's sort of attempts at, you know, at sort of being in the world, and just obviously right. it's just a complete disaster because he doesn't like his only grounding is Steve, and Steve is gone, so he's just sort of left to drift and can't, like, even that sort of little attempt at small talk when he's like, how old are you? 106. I mean, how do you relate to other humans when your experience is right. just so different and traumatic to boot?
And again, like, that was the whole thing, right? Like, you know, Steve ends up relating to Sam as a soldier first.
Mm-hmm.
And because he doesn't know how else to do it. And again, Sam, like, having that background, knows how to reach through to him. And you see that, like, he's been texting, you know, Bucky. Like, that's, there's all this groundwork laid for a lot of very, very careful, subtle work being done. And it might almost be too subtle for the show they're doing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just appreciating the hell out of it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the. I'm definitely looking forward to the next episode. I like that they've sort of found another Captain America, the John Walker character.
Right.
But what I really like about it is I'm a real fan of the actor Wyatt Russell. If you ever watch the show Lodge 49, I mean, he plays a slacker who kind of, like, drifts through life and sort of ends up in this sort of Masonic lodge with a bunch of old dudes. And he's really good. It actually reminds me of, like, a really laid-back Terriers, Lodge 49.
Nice.
So having him
yeah,
having
I don't,
him
I don't really
here,
know him as an actor.
Yeah, yeah. He brings a very particular energy to things. So I think even though, like, when you see him in the outfit, I mean, he looks downright goofy. I mean, obviously, it's deliberate.
Well, but that was the thing. I was just impressed with their ability to cast somebody who, in, like, 30 seconds, like, not just in the outfit, but how he stands, his little smirk, the little wink, like, all of his energy goes towards cheap knockoff.
Exactly.
And he nails it. Like, and that's not easy to actually do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I say, Wyatt Russell is a good actor, so I really want to see how he does this sort of this cheap knockoff Captain America.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I like the Louisiana setting for Sam's family. That's
That's new, but it's as far as I know, it's because Mackie is from there.
Ah, okay.
Like, I know that he is from Louisiana. Like, that's a big thing for him. So I think he kind of pushed him to just, why don't we just do this?
Mm-hmm.
I think it works really well, so.
Oh, yeah. I think another thing that I think threw people is everybody's kind of waiting for Mackie and Stan to sort of get together and banter. And I think there was a reaction like, where's the banter? Because this was, as you say, much more about trauma and much slower paced and so on.
Yeah, I mean, give it till, like, you know, probably my guess is midway through the next episode.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, it's six episodes, but they're like an hour each.
Oh, it's only six. Hmm, okay.
Yeah, it's only six, but they are like apparently like an hour each. They were, you know, so they're doing the 6-hour movie thing. Because of course.
Why didn't they just release it as one movie? I mean, there's a precedent for that. Just a big old 6-hour film. Although I think, like, I was gonna say my favorite reaction or my favorite response that I've seen so far is someone on Twitter with a GIF of Sebastian Stan and the freaking not Groot, but the raccoon.
Oh Rocket. Does he ask his does he tell his therapist about this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it'd be weird to sit down in therapy and be like, yeah, so I saved the world from a bunch of aliens a couple times. You know,
I figure, again, like, therapist is this is a therapist who, like, obviously works with S.H.I.E.L.D. on some level, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Would be used to this.
Yes. Yeah, alien threats would be in her wheelhouse for dealing with trauma.
Right.
PTSD, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, not a bad start. I didn't respond to it personally as much as I was hoping to, but I think that may have been as much about me at that moment of watching it that.
Well, and the thing is, again, like, I think if they're doing like the Winter Soldier, like the Captain America type tonal movie that they'd been doing, it's gonna take a while, and I think by the end of it, it's gonna be this big thing, but it's not gonna be. I mean, it's going to be, like, emotionally resonant, because of course it will to some degree, but it's not going to be WandaVision, right? Like, that's...
Right.
It's going to deal with trauma in a completely different way, which is fascinating, but I don't think it's going to ever, like, kind of grab people by the throat.
No.
And that's fine. Like, that's not what it's built to do.
Exactly. I don't mind the villain, the setup for the villains. Obviously, we've got some... overpowered people just running around in masks. Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I enjoyed the scene, the sort of the choreography and the setup for that scene where with Torres, you know, faces down the sort of the villain and gets smacked for his troubles.
And it's fun having that character, by the way, because in the comics, he's not in the military, but Torres eventually gets powers and becomes the new Falcon.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Like, I forget his entire background, but it is completely different. But he ends up with, like, actual wings on his arms type of thing.
All right, then. Oh, right. Also, loved
having... So I thought it was a nice touch.
Yeah. Oh, really enjoyed having Batroc in the opening as well.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring him back.
Yeah. And, I mean, since this is closest in look and tone... and feeling to Winter Soldier, it just makes sense that you'd throw Batroc in there,
right? Like it helped complete that circle
mm-hmm.
early on.
Yes,
when you're like, okay, the music is vaguely similar, you know, the color grading is similar. Like even just we're gonna start with like the way that Sam falls out of the plane.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh the Batroc.
There were echoes all throughout the start of this, and even like you know things like. You know, like Bucky with a notebook. Like they keep echoing Winter Soldier on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much
to get
so
you to
that...
kind of go like Steve is the center and he's missing,
right?
And here are two people who are orbiting until they collide.
Mm, exactly. Very well done. And it was so much so reminiscent of Winter Soldier that I automatically did not trust Taurus at first.
Oh, that's fair.
So I was like, but then
and I
after...
think again, I think that was on purpose.
Yeah, because there's that Tunisian sort of scene where they're like where they're talking, and it's almost like Taurus is trying to like sort of nudge some information out of him, and I'm like, is he a fanboy? Does he just want in, or is he an agent? What exactly is his position here?
Yeah, and I think that's very much on purpose. Just like I think that the redesign of the Flag Smasher concept into this gang who wear masks that are very, very close to Crossbones' mask.
Hmm.
Like, all of this is weirdly carefully designed for that maximum echo.
Yes. Also, Flag Smashers? That is... They really need a better name. I know they're going to make many jokes about this.
Yes. Yeah. And again, their motivation actually this time doesn't actually make any sense.
No, not really. It doesn't. So they don't want borders? I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, what the heck? They're bad people. They got to fight the bad people. It's nice right. when
the original Flag Smasher was this guy who was like, you know, he didn't believe in like national borders and all this. excuse me. And that's fine. But building it off of like, building it off of the whole like blip thing, it stopped making sense for a minute.
Yeah.
It was like you tried to shoehorn these two things together and you need a bigger shoe.
Nice.
Possibly a larger horn.
Possibly, yes. Excellent. Yeah. No, but like I say, looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel like I'll probably have more to say at that point, because this was all just, so much of this was set up and just, you know, getting into where these characters are coming from in order to, like, make it work when they're together.
Oh, 100%. So, let's get back and let's get into the thing.
The thing!
The thing.
And I promise you, after today, we never even have to refer to it again.
You say that, and yet that's what I thought last time.
No, I'm actually just almost flat out lying here. I will definitely refer to this thing again.
Jesus.
In one way or another.
Why? Why do you hate me?
Yeah, mostly it's just because
what
you
did I
sound
do?
So aggrieved. Exactly. What have you done to deserve this?
Deserves I thought we were
nothing
friends.
To do with it. That's right. No, this has been like a 10 year long con just to torture you with talk of Zack Snyder's Justice League.
It finally makes sense.
But truth is, I'm Martian Manhunter just trying to like goad you into something. I'm not sure what. My motivations are completely unclear.
Well, I do think it's also funny about that whole thing, that was supposed to be a different character.
Oh, really?
Yep. And then he had to reshoot that too, because he couldn't get, like, Warner was like, no. Originally it was supposed to be Jon Stewart.
Oh, okay. Interesting and odd. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know there's. I was thinking there would be, when they talked about a cameo, I thought, well, definitely Martian Manhunter. But then I thought, could there be a lantern involved? And the answer was no. But all right. I mean, there was a lantern.
Yeah, like
in
originally.
Film, but...
Right. No, but originally there was supposed to be. It was going to be. All Jon Stewart-y.
and not the night show host, by the way.
Although
who knows?
Right. Like I'm here for it.
Why not? I mean he did a good job on the Daily Show. Well let him defend this sector of space.
Yeah. So anyway, so the Snyder Cut act happened. God help us.
Finally. And I was very surprised by the critical reaction, including critics whose taste and work I generally admire quite a bit, were, like, before I watched, I read some reviews, and they were surprisingly positive. So I thought, maybe I am wrong about this Zack Snyder's Justice League thing. Maybe it's going to be a better film than I expected. And I was actually kind of pleased because I thought, well, this is good. Like, I don't want to have to just mock a bad film for no reason, right? But it turned out to be exactly what I was expecting. just completely.
I really do think what happened was that there was no way for it to not be taken. Like, A, it is in fact a better overall film than the theatrical release.
Yes.
However, like, it's also a crap-ass shitty movie. Like, it just because it's better doesn't mean it's good. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes, exactly.
The original was a total piece of shit. This is a total piece of shit with some redeeming qualities. And really, those redeeming qualities are Cyborg's arc is better by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. I mean, that's not... I mean, that too is kind of damning with faint praise. I mean, to just have Cyborg more in it. But it is a good deal better.
And then it felt, like, coherent.
Yeah.
In a way that the original theatrical release did not.
Yeah, a lot of...
That said, it was 4 hours of slow-motion fucking hot dogs. And, like, sesame seeds dropping, and everything just justified to be all grim and dark and, like, stern looks, and it was... If Hot Topic made a superhero movie...
Yes.
This is what you get.
Exactly. That's precisely what I was thinking. As you know, I've been looking at the movie scene by scene and just writing down things that occurred to me. And I've also been comparing it sort of as I go with the theatrical release. I don't want to call it the Whedon cut particularly, because even though it's very Whedon-y, like the studio literally hired Joss Whedon to give the movie that Joss Whedon feeling. They looked at the Avengers success and were like, gee, what makes the Avengers work? And with a cargo cult mentality, it was like, well, more jokes and Joss Whedon made it work. So that will make this work. And it did not. But here's the thing. Like, something's really surprised me, though. Like, the opening credits in the theatrical release, I thought for sure that was like a Snyder thing. Like, it had all the hallmarks of Snyder. It had, like, the Leonard Cohen cover. It had lots of slow motion. It had, like, portentous shots of memorials and people grieving. With one exception of, like, a newspaper headline that had pictures of Superman, Prince, and David Bowie saying, you know, I was like, well, that looks like Whedon. I just thought, okay, this has got to be Snyder. And holy shit, it was not even close.
Yeah, I mean, at least it didn't have that weird, fake lip Superman.
Yes, no fake lip Superman. That was good.
But yeah, no, it's, you know, this is Snyder for you. It's all terrible from here on out. he's not a great director. Like, that's the trick of it, right? Like, he's not good at this.
Yeah, he's good at, I think he is, I think he should, like, be like a still photographer or a painter. And
I think the best thing he did was someone else's script, right? Like, that was the Day of the Dawn of the Dead remake?
Right.
That was somebody else's script.
I think it was James Gunn's script.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. The thing about that film is that it is the film that looks the least like a Zack Snyder joint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's before he could just do whatever he wanted, so he had to make something that looked vaguely conventional. And, like, if you watch it again, you can see every so often some Snyderisms. Like, there's, I mean, let's leave aside the politics and the Christian bits and pieces that slip in. Just sort of like some of the pacing in scenes was like, okay, that's, you can see Snyder indulging his interest in metronomically slow, sort of even scenes, like, damn the actual rhythm that's
right.
necessitated. But then he came out with 300, and it's like, oh, okay, this is Snyder. Speaking of which, there are parts of Justice League that just look like 300, And it is
the past fight thing?
Fuck. And just
where he just used the same color grading? Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, just if you're gonna have this in, just I mean, I would have said, Zach, I know you really want this in, but you don't have the money to do the effects properly. So maybe think about it. But no, he's just gonna go ahead. But there's one shot in the movie that I think sums this up better than anything else. And it's during that, like, insanely long, dull fight under the tunnels.
Right.
When they first all deal with Steppenwolf. And they're like, oh, we've got to get up to this ledge or something. And then there's a shot of, like, all the like, superheroes just kind of, like, walking up some stairs. Just walking upstairs. No reason. They don't look like heroes. And that's the weird thing. They don't look like, it isn't like this power shot of them sort of like purposefully like striding to meet their destiny. They're just walking up some stairs for no reason.
Yeah.
Like you could have cut this. You should have cut this. Even this one shot. But no.
Right.
But no, you're going to give
but no.
everything. It's a fucking assembly cut. And, but like there's just... That's the thing. There's something really petty at the heart of all this. It's like, no, I'm going to show you every single thing.
What amazes me, though, is that some people, like, and I mean, obviously, all these fans are just like, look at this. This wouldn't exist without us. Well, kind of.
Kind of.
Because if there hadn't been a pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, right when HBO Max was launching, okay?
Yep.
I don't care what the fans do. This movie never gets released.
Right.
This was an act of desperation by Warner Brothers, who was like, I guess $70 million is cheaper than another film, and maybe it'll get us enough press, and maybe they'll get us enough people going, oh, HBO Max is a thing, and subscribing even just for like a month to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we could tease the black and white version, which they're now doing, but not give a date on it, so people will stay subscribed for at least one extra month. And can I just tell you, I'm pretty sure people thought I was making a joke on Twitter last night.
Oh,
when I saw the thing that was like the Justice is Gray edition, because you know that's Snyder, right? Justice isn't black or white. Justice is shades of gray. And I legitimately read it as Justice is Gay, and I was like,
I love that.
Okay, I want to see this edition. Like, this is where Batman and Superman kiss. This is, I'm good with this. And I was like, oh, Justice is Gray. Like, you're just still fucking being a wallet chain of a director.
Wallet chain. Yeah, actually, that was my other favorite tweet about this whole thing, is probably the just... Oh, the R. See, it's an R, but it's R-rated, so that's they put in the R there. So now Justice is great.
Also, like, again, like, apparently, do you know the reason they're doing this? Like, it's the same thing as the 4-3. All right, do you know the actual reason for the 4-3 ratio?
Well, I mean, I understand that some directors like to cut their stuff in 4:3 and then crop it. But so no, go ahead. Tell me.
He shot a bunch of it with IMAX cameras, hoping to be able to do his the thing, right? Like, here's a whole bunch of big scenes in IMAX. And so because he didn't frame it well, when you do it in widescreen, he's like, see all the stuff it cuts off? And I'm like, then frame it better, motherfucker. You know you should be framing it for the rest of the movie. But no, he framed it 4:43, and then he realized that it looked like shit if he does it this other way. So he's like, no, my vision is in this. It's like, your vision is in IMAX for, like, we're going to release it on home? Like, did it first? Like, you idiot. The black and white thing, the reason he's like, this is his preferred way to see it, is because up until he got Warner's full approval to, like, finish, you know, and go back and shoot new things and do all this, right?
Right.
All of his assembly cuts were ungraded black and white. So he's like, see, this is my vision of how I saw it. I was like, no, this is just how you were forced to watch it for a year. It doesn't make it better. It is literally just, this is what he had, so now we should experience because he's decided that it's better the way he saw it, whether or not it actually has anything to do with anything.
Yep.
It's stunning to me.
Yeah.
But
oh my god.
But again, like, I know the HBO, like, look, Warner's went along with it because, again, if they, so long as they could push it another month, right? They will probably get people who are willing to stay subscribed for a second month. They won't just all bail in the first month because they want to see this. And I'm willing to bet you that when they do the Justice Is Gray edition, they are going to announce that, like, before the Blu-rays and all that come out, that they're going to release a bunch of, like here it is with a director's commentary. Like, they're going to keep teasing it out to try to get people to stay, you know, on the teat for as long as humanly possible, because this is their entire plan to make their $70 million back.
Exactly.
And it's not really going to work. And, you know, because A, already they've turned to restore the Snyderverse, because Snyder wanted to make two more films in what he calls a five-movie trilogy, which, first of all,
is
fuck
not
you,
thing.
Get Douglas Adams' name out of your mouth. There's only one person who was ever allowed to make that joke.
Yes.
It is not Zack Snyder. And, of course, the trilogy, like, he keeps changing what he's like, I had this definite plan, here's what it was, and he keeps changing what it was. Which is hysterical to me. But all of it basically resolves down to whether it's secretly Bruce Wayne's kid or not. You know, that Bruce was somehow in love with Lois
while
Superman was dead.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Which, first of all, was like a week and a half, right? Like, here's my problem. It's just like the timing of none of this works. We have no indication that he spent any time with her or even knew her. So this would come the fuck out of nowhere.
Right.
And that possibly, that, like, she got pregnant because of that, and then her and Clark raised this kid as their own, and that, like, you know, the whole dark nightmare future thing is because Batman manages to not save Lois from getting killed by Darkseid. So in response, Superman turns evil and then joins Darkseid? I'm like, wait, what?
You know, fridging can do a lot for a character.
Apparently.
Also, apparently,
but,
Harley,
like, this
Quinn
is the whole
dies,
thing.
So
of course.
End. So yeah. It's like, okay, I'll kill all the women. And Aquaman.
Sure. Right. And so, like, the way to avoid the evil future is that, you know, like, Batman sacrifices himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, when the kid reaches 21... like, Superman and Lois take him to the Batcave, and they're like, this is what, you know, like, because he's, of course, named Bruce Kent. This is what your namesake would have wanted. Because that's really what Clark Kent and Lois Lane would do. Be like, we'd like our son to grow up to be Batman. That makes sense.
I love it.
Like, no part of this works?
No.
And so, of course, people are like, oh, we should restore it. And, oh, he wanted to do, like, an Atom film, and we should let him do that. And, oh, he wanted to do this movie, and we should let him do that. And it's like, how about none of it? And so, of course, what I expected to happen is now actually creeping closer to happening. They are now discussing, maybe he'll continue the Snyderverse in comics.
Oh, Christ, really?
And that's fine. No. Give him... Look, I'm serious. Give him a line of fucking, like, boutique graphic novels, one every, like, year or two, that continue his own little teeny fucking universe out there. That's fine, because he has a multiverse. Who gives a shit? Do it. Sell some fucking comics. Put the money in DC's hand, not Warner's. Do it.
Yeah.
Because most of these people don't buy comics in the first place. Like, fuck it. Let him fucking... put money where it should go for this. Who gives a shit? Like, what's the downside? It'll them up.
True.
They'll get what they want, and the benefit of it will not be, I mean, it'll be technically global, but it won't be like a whole thing. It'll just be, you know, it'll be this little comic corner over here that will work until it stops selling, because they're gonna be like, ugh, I'm sick of this now, and then it will go away quietly. Like, I see no real downside to this.
That would be
having to give them what they want, which we should never do.
Right. I mean, but I think that's the best possible outcome.
Right.
I fear there's going to be a much worse outcome, but that one, I'm holding out hope for your scenario.
Look, they're not. They cannot afford. Because they have to. Okay, look, Warner's knows one thing right now. If they let Snyder, if they even, like, hint that, like, Snyder's going to do another movie, which, first of all, Snyder himself has said he doesn't really want to do anymore.
Right.
But if they did, the problem is they're going to have to spend whatever Snyder wants on it, and it's going to have to be 4 hours long and in theaters. And you know how, like, long runtimes kill theatrical releases.
Uh-huh.
But if they don't do it, then, you know, this group will just start up again. So there is no way for them to win and let him do another movie. They are in the same place whether they let him do it or not.
Good point.
So at that point, why not save $400 million and not let him do it? If you're going to get fucking the same amount of shit regardless, do it for $400 million less is all I'm saying. Like, I mean, for like $1 million, you could just be like, okay, here's your comic universe. Like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Enjoy.
Yep. Oh my God.
So. Yeah.
So, that ending.
Uh-huh.
I mean, okay, I have a few things to say about the ending.
The ending we got with Martian Manhunter and the whole nightmare thing and all that, or the earlier ending that made no real sense?
No. Okay. Well, there's that. Oh my God! Like, when the actual ending where Flash the not the nightmare sequence ending, but the sort of the way he does the sort of the final fight where Flash runs around in a circle until a random parademon manages to shoot him somehow. And then he turns back time. If he could find a way. But when he does that turning back time thing, and I know I shouldn't be harping on this, but the visual effects were so unfinished and it looked so incredibly bad. And also it made no sense. Like, why the fuck is Flash not affected? Everybody else has been on Flash. But anyway, I was like,
it's the worst Flash running effect there's ever been, first of all.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like sometimes I was watching CW stuff instead of like a feature film release.
The CW stuff looks better.
I know. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing.
Realistically, it looks better. Because the whole, like, he runs like a speed skater. Why? why? Justify that shit. They never do. And like the lightning everywhere is just to make it harder to see on purpose.
Yeah.
But it makes it harder to see. Like, you know, I get also that they're trying to do the whole, like, he's just in the Speed Force, and that's why he doesn't always have to run fast so much as
glide.
You know, he's just right, but even when he's just like saving Iris, he's just kind of stand there and like walking around, and I get it. But the idea of he's the fastest man alive, like I always feel like for the Flash stuff, like you can get to, oh, he just stands around in the Speed Force sometimes, but I feel like at the beginning, especially like when he's like new Flash, he should be moving a lot because that's, I don't know. Like, I like the actor. I think he was having fun, and he was doing a fun job with it, but oh my God, it's just terrible. It's just terrible.
Yep.
I guess it was supposed to be cute, but like Alfred explaining tea to Wonder Woman, and then, you know, her being like, oh, he's working on gauntlets that absorb energy, haha, good idea. And, like, you know, he should do a lasso next, but in black. And I want to be like, bitch, you know he has a grappling gun, right? Sometimes he ties people up with that shit. He's already got the lasso. Like, and why are we being snarky? Like, it just, you know, what I do think it's funny, too, that everyone decided to stop mentioning. We all harked on it for the theatrical release. And somehow, in everyone's complaints, there was one missing this time.
Mm-hmm.
It might have just been a timing thing that people forgot. But do you remember when the first Wonder Woman movie came out?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember how the Amazons were not just wearing skimpy little teeny bikinis?
I do remember this, and that was one of the big... I remember that being one of the big complaints.
Yeah. And everyone seemed to ignore it this time.
Well, I mean, they knew I think they all knew. I think partly that was because they knew what they were getting this time.
Okay.
But I agree. It's like, and in fact, I saw one article that was like going on about how the Snyder Cut does away with all the creepy butt shots of Wonder Woman, and the color grade is like better because it, you know, it hides her bits. And I'm like, I guess. I mean, I've been watching the theatrical release in tandem, and I mean, with the exception of maybe one shot from behind, I frankly don't think it's much different.
And again, the color grading was just depressing.
Oh, I know. The color grade in theatrical cut was ugly, and this one is just like gloomy. Come on. Although this color grade is more appropriate, that's for sure.
Sure.
For the tone of the movie.
Also, can I get nerdy and just have a nerd anger moment at the whole Superman black costume thing?
Sure.
Okay, it appeared once. It had a reason in the comics.
That was to,
when Superman like, dies, absorb, when he's brought back to life.
Absorb the sun's rays. Yeah.
Right. This is not that. Because, A, you notice that when he comes out, he's not wearing any sort of costume and he's at full power.
Right.
Okay. So, first of all, that can't be the case. But according to, like, Snyder has his bullshit reasoning for why, outside of just, again, he's the hot topic of directors. And it just makes my head hurt. His reasoning is, well, if you look, people on Krypton are often wearing black. So black is more internally who Superman is. But the full color costume, I'm like, really? Full color? That's what we're calling that? Okay. is how he wants to be seen by the outside world. But the black costume is more personal because it's from his home. And I'm like, okay, so your fundamental misunderstanding starts with him thinking of Krypton as home.
Yeah.
And then it goes to, so you're saying that the black outfit is more appropriate for him because it's more personal, and the other one is just a fun costume he puts on for us. And that's obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see evil Superman, he's wearing the colored one, which wouldn't make any sense, right?
Right.
Because if he was, like, evil Superman and, like, fuck all of Earth, why would he be like, see, look, like, what? Like, you can't even be internally consistent with your bullshit reasoning. That just fucking say, okay, that the black outfit gave you a fucking erection, and so you put it in the film. Just deal with this.
Yeah, and I
like,
and
that's fine. I'm not kink-shaming. But, like, own it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything really that wrong with when asked just to say, yeah, I thought it looked cool. And you know, and it just calls back to the death and rebirth of Superman stuff. Even if
it was used in the comics, I think it looks cool. Like, why not do it? Right? Yeah. Like, it's a cool look. It's in the comics. Fans would want it. Let's put it there for a minute. Like, it's as he's reestablishing himself and as he gets back to the light, you know, and all this, and becomes hopeful again, and blah blah. Then he could,
exactly.
You know, like, there are any number of ways to make it work that aren't pretentious and ridiculous and aren't supported by your own text.
Mm-hmm.
Snyder chose none of those.
That's right. Oh, so many options. Just choose the worst one. I found that kind of ridiculous. Also, he's so like absurdly overpowered in the final fight. I mean, for the sake of like a triumphant fist pump moment, it's kind of like, okay, I get it. You know, you're stronger than Steppenwolf, but after watching everybody else try to fight Steppenwolf and like sort of kind of fail, and watching him not just prevail but almost like flick him aside like a living god, it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed like this like just fist pump moment but with no sort of like thought behind it. Beyond that.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is how do you do a Justice League movie that has maybe 10 minutes of Superman in it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you do that? That's not a Justice League movie. That's like a movie with some guys. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're going to do an Avengers movie, and it won't have, like, Captain America, Iron Man, or Thor. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You can get there, but you don't do it at your first shot.
Yeah. This feels more like Dawn of Justice than Justice League, frankly.
Right. And that's the thing, right? Like this could be like your third Justice League movie. But yeah, your first Justice League movie shouldn't be, and then at the very end, Superman.
Now the ending. The actual ending,
yeah.
the dream.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, no, I just want to get to it before I forget about it. I have a few thoughts on this. One, I have no fucking idea, a clue why he made that. I mean,
oh, he has a reasoning, but go on.
I'm sure he has a reasoning. I know he has reasons. And I've read some of the reasons.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: in Batman v Superman, when they had like the similar nightmare sequence, he put it sort of in the middle. You know, and it was clearly there to, like, you know, say, hey, for future movies. It wasn't great pacing wise, but I mean, this movie isn't great pacing wise, because what is it pacing?
Right.
Although it was actually better pacing wise than I thought it would be, it still wasn't great. But instead, like you say, like a wallet chain of a director, like just this most literal minded thing possible. He's like, I shot this new stuff, so I'm going to put it at the end instead of thinking about how it could fit into the whole.
Well, and he put it at the end because he wanted that, like, you know, it's like this cliffhangery thing. So he put it there, and I'm like, I guess.
But it's not a cliffhanger. It's a whole freaking scene, like an overlong scene. Like, a cliffhanger would have been one thing, but this was like not. It just wasn't a cliffhanger. It was just extra shit. And also, this is the point at which I just found myself losing patience with Snyder's love of the wandering, shallow focus camera. It works for Terrence Malick. You know, and he has kind of dropped that sort of thing in recent films.
Yeah.
Because it has this sort of claim to sort of naturalism and wonder and just, you know, but with this, like, why are we frequently losing focus? Still losing focus.
Yeah, no, that out of focus, just Joker monologue. I was just like, the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, like, dude, this is not an artistic choice. This is just like directing, like using a camera 101. He's talking. Fucking focus on his face. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like,
and even if you remember back in the day, like, the Shield would have we're focused on like a pillar because we can't get an actual shot of the person,
right?
Or someone's out of focus for like a minute, but they wouldn't hold it for that long.
Yeah, and I mean, and there's like slight out of focus, and I get that, but it's the way he does. He also does this in the opening, in the very opening of the credits, like the camera's like moving around sort of Doomsday and Superman in their death pose, but his camera isn't focusing on them at first, and I'm like, why do you think this is a reveal? Like, if you've seen the previous movie, you know what this is, and if you haven't seen it, it's not going to help to like reveal it, because you still won't know what the fuck's going on,
right?
Blah, blah, blah. So this at the end, yeah, just absolutely boggled my mind. Also, Batman dropping an F-bomb, which he promised. I'm like, oh, there's like three fucks in the whole movie, I think. But then he wakes up.
Which, to be fair, is three fucks more than I gave.
Fair enough. Zing. But then he wakes up, and and then Martian Manhunter comes down. And it's like Ben Affleck is like, you know, I was in this movie already, I guess. I agreed to be in a scene, but just, you know, he's like it's like a shape-shifting alien shows up at his door, and Bruce Wayne is like, yeah, we'll take all the help we can get. So thanks for showing up. I gotta take a leak. See you later. I mean, this was the entire energy of that scene.
Yeah, and it was kind of amazing.
I kind of loved it for its complete absurdity. It's completely misjudged energy. I was like, why? What's going on? And somebody on Twitter pointed out that the sort of the the light, the yellow color grade, meant that there was hope. And I'm like, fuck off. Just
how? Stop.
Yeah. See, previously, you know, Wayne's Place looks all gloomy and blue. Now it's all like well lit and yellow because hope. I'm like, don't point out baby's first like film analysis and act like it's a big deal. Like this is just embarrassing for everyone involved.
I'm still struggling to see because you know traditionally, of course, yellow means hope. What?
Right. Or at least, like, you know, it's like it's lighter, right? It's sort of warmer. So, and I'm like, yeah, with warmer tones, I get
sure.
it. Sure.
It's a new day dawning, I guess.
It's a new day dawning, etc. But I'm like, okay. And I also wanted to mention
but, you know,
that...
I do love, like, again, like, I actually do kind of love Bruce Wayne's complete lack of fucks. When he's like, okay, look, someone new who's super fucking powered... And apparently he's been spying on all of us. It's like, that's fine. Yes, you can join the fucking club. Just what yeah. the fuck effort, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, we're not going to ask why you didn't help out, I guess.
Yeah.
Against, like the greatest existential threat to the planet and the freaking galaxy that we've seen in 5,000 years. We're just not going to mention that. Just...
Yeah.
Yeah, just he's like,
whatever, dude.
Yeah, just,
go with
just,
it.
Just, you know, call my people. And we'll set up a meeting. Okay.
Right.
Speaking of meetings, I have to say I loved Steppenwolf's sort of like intergalactic Zoom calls with Desaad. That was. I got a kick out of that. And what the fuck was up with Steppenwolf's outfit? Like that
it
armor.
Was...
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, again, visually, I think the idea was, and I'm just guessing here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted it to sort of be a weird, almost callback to Cyborg, because
yes.
their armor's being made by the same sort of thing.
I thought that too.
Except Steppenwolf is just armor and Cyborg is him, so his looks more refined?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he just looks like a fucking cheese grater. I got nothing.
And once again, there are moments when the effect simply did not look finished on Steppenwolf's armor, which was
no,
a shame.
But here's the thing. And, I mean, I'm all for it, okay? If you look up, like, the newer comic stuff with Steppenwolf, they've kind of added in, like, waves, a lot of silver and, like, horns and all this to kind of pull them a little bit closer to this.
Hmm.
But go back and find, like, old Kirby drawings of Steppenwolf. Because we could have had glory.
Oh,
This was a man who wore a big green pointy hat.
God almighty.
And occasionally with an orange fur stole over it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like we've definitely missed out.
Yeah. Like, he was kind of like evil Robin Hood. Like, seriously.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and I think that's the other thing. Like, all these Kirby characters, I mean, they're all done, like, to be this, like, really sort of trippy early 70s, like, pop art, you know, craziness. And now it just seems like they're these kind of, like, big lumps of stuff, which is just not as interesting.
Exactly. Like, you look at, like Thor Ragnarok, say.
Mm-hmm.
Even to a degree, like, the first Thor movie, which, you know, like, and it's, we can do Kirby.
Yeah.
And Kirby, in real life, like, on the one hand, does it look ridiculous? Sure. Does it look amazing? Also sure.
Yeah. And there's the thing, think of Thor Ragnarok. I mean, it is possible to produce Snyderian-looking tableau and scenes, as you see in some of the flashbacks there, but those look good. Those look really good. Because Watiti knows how to balance it out with, like, balance out the tone.
Right.
But not this.
But again, like I just feel like if they had forced Snyder to be like, you know, stop trying to reinvent Kirby. First of all, like you, no one should be doing that.
Yeah.
But like if they had forced it to be like, this is what Kirby, like mother boxes aren't these big fucking, like that was the other thing was, I'll tell you, look, you get, I said to somebody else, you get Batman wrong in like a story and you're like, here's Batman with a bunch of guns. I'm going to be like, fine, whatever. Like you're dumb, but okay. You get Superman wrong in a story and you're like, you know, here's Superman, he's killing people. They'll be like, God damn it. Like, you know what? Like this is legitimately a problem now. You need to fucking find help. I don't know who hurt you. And I'm going to get a little annoyed, right?
Right.
You get Kirby shit really wrong, I get uppity. When you're like, oh, it's these mother boxes. They only exist to terraform planets and do this thing called the Unity, which, by the way, the idea that we have this group that has to come together to save the planet in order to stop Unity is a weird message.
That's a good point.
Isn't that the opposite of what you'd want? But like the mother boxes are just, like, are evil and they just do this thing. It's like, why are we just disrespecting Kirby? Like, step off of shit.
Yeah, that was really odd. Like, the mother boxes are a hell of a lot more than that. But
right. And they would never, like, again, we have father boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And even they wouldn't do this, but like you could at least make a case for it.
Yeah.
It's this weird complete misunderstanding of Kirby. As someone else mentioned, like, it wasn't like Kirby was ever subtle with this shit.
No.
He wasn't going for subtle. He wasn't trying for subtle, right? Like, he named the big bad Darkseid. Come on.
Yes,
exactly. It was New Genesis and Apocalypse. Like, the man was not going for fucking subtle.
No, he was going for like some crazy shit.
Yeah. And like big, you know, post World War II, like good and evil stuff.
Exactly.
And I don't know why it's hard to just do that.
I don't know why either. But maybe we'll get like a Forever People movie out of all this.
Well, we're supposed to get a New Gods movie, if you remember.
That's, oh yeah, Ava DuVernay, I think, is on that.
Right, and Tom King is co-writing it?
Sure.
Which means it'll probably be very, you know, Scott and Barda focused.
Probably. I know some people are not fans of Tom King, but I am. I like me some Tom King.
Tom King is a good guy.
But, yeah. Oh, wow. So yeah, no. If we get the Forever People, I'll be. I never remember if they're the Tomorrow People or the Forever People.
Right. No, they're Forever People, and I don't know if we're gonna get them in this movie or something. Like, my feeling is, this is gonna have a lot of lifting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're doing Scott and Barda, and you have to do like the whole New Gods thing, like we might see the Forever People somewhere, but I feel like they'd get their own movie somewhere outside of this.
Yeah. That's kind of. I'm kind of hoping. I always really liked them, so.
Yeah,
and I loved, and when they showed
up, I do too. Like,
yeah, when they showed up in Young Justice, I was like, "Oh yeah, Forever People."
Yeah, no, it's a great take on them too. Actually,
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Like the original Fourth World comics, if you read them, like, you know, the Forever People are at their best when they're like, "We like Earth."
Yeah,
let's go to Earth and be weird. It's like, because Earth is weird, so we can be weird. That's totally fine. And I'm just like, yeah, you crazy little hippie kids, do it. You know, it's
exactly.
There's just something fun about them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. There was something else I wanted to just not to turn the. Oh, something else I wanted to mention, and it actually, it ties into my jokey opening, which was the scene between Lois and Martha, because they're
which wasn't,
and there was because having watched the theatrical cut, there is a scene between Lois and Martha in the theatrical cut, which is meant to replace the Snyder cut version. And both scenes are really bad in different ways. And it's fascinating that they can't that between them, neither director could make a decent scene between the two non-superhero women in the films.
This is very true.
I think in the the Snyder one looks much prettier. Like it is a very handsome looking scene, nicely lit, etc. But all they really talk about is Clark. So I mean,
right.
So it's understandable that Clark would be on their minds, but it'd be better if they were not just talking about Clark, frankly. And
right.
Even regardless, the fact that it's not actually Martha renders it pointless. But here's the thing. I don't know what games John Jones, the Martian Manhunter, was playing at, but it's not going to work. It's going to work out. Here's how I see this working out. Lois and Martha will eventually meet up, and Lois will say, hey, we'll reference in some way that first meeting. Martha will be like, what? I was never there. Lois is going to be like, oh shit, Martha is going going senile, and she'll take away Martha's power of attorney and put her in a home. So Martian Manhunter will ruin Martha Kent's life this way. This is a possible scenario unfolding for this.
Wow.
I mean, this is weird. But if he's a villain, that makes perfect sense.
Sure.
But a very long game for a villain. Anywho, but the theatrical cut, I don't know if you recall it, but obviously Whedon didn't like the notion of Lois not going to work. He wanted her to be a career, he wanted her with a job. Right, and that makes sense. I like that. Instead of at home and possibly pregnant. At any rate, but in that scene, they actually talk about each other and about their lives instead of just about Clark. But there's a moment of ham-handed sexism in there that is really ham-handed, and the scene itself is just ugly, and it looks like it was filmed like in like two takes, and they're like, yep, we got it, cut, moving on. It was just so sort of like indifferent and cheap looking, and I thought, man, even when you try not to do these characters dirty, yeah, did them dirty anyway, which was a real shame. Oh, but this reminded me of the pregnancy test. The funniest thing about that pregnancy test, the force majeure that you see. I would like to know how Zack Snyder thinks women take pregnancy tests.
Like, right?
Do they does he think that she like peed in her bed or like next to the bed? Like it would be in the bathroom. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Details I'm like...
Again, like, no. Do you want my big petty moment? I actually putting this on Twitter, too, but it is a big petty moment that just annoys me. Snyder insists that all boom tubes come from the sky, right? They come down, and they make kind of a rumble, and then you teleport up, but it's like a normal teleport beam. Instead of, every time, if you notice, like, Kirby does a boom tube, it's this thing that appears in a way that makes no visual sense to the side and just recedes into infinity. And, like, that's cool, right? Like, that's a fucking, like, that's a cool-ass thing. It's this tube. Where does it come from? How did it get there? Where is it going? Like, how could it not be on both sides of this? And it's awesome looking. If it's here's kind of a shimmery thing from the sky, and then you go up it, I'm like, it's a fucking teleport. Fuck you.
I know. I too found that disappointing. Yeah, really, I mean, he really missed out on what made Kirby's visuals really interesting. The way they just...
And not only like, the visuals, like what Kirby's point was, how he thought, like all of it, he just missed Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
It's like he was hired to do, like, a music documentary. And he was like, well, I want to do this documentary, and as part of it, I want to have, like, a big portion of it is going to be Prince. And so I'm going to set all of that Prince stuff in New Jersey. And you're like, but Prince didn't have anything to do in New Jersey. He's like, yeah, but but I like New Jersey. And you're like, yeah, but you're supposed to be doing Prince, right? Not what you like. And he's like, sure. So, New Jersey. Like, that's what you're up against.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the willful ignorance.
Just drives you nuts. I mean, we've already seen that Snyder doesn't understand Alan Moore. But now we just see that he doesn't get Kirby either.
All right. Well, we're over the hour mark, and I think we're both just getting uppity at this point.
Oh yeah. I actually wanted to talk about the good things.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, fuck the good things.
I mean, overall, whatever. Go waste 4 hours of your life and figure them out. I don't know what to tell you. Christ. So yeah, next week there'll be more Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then we can get back into things like Winona Earp and Flash and Superman and Lois and all those other good time shows.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Snyder. What do you think?
I think so. That's a good plan.
We'll play some music for now. Woo!